K. Jackson, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, a Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Inflation rose in June to its highest level since February as the initial effects of tariffs weigh on consumer prices. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
Prices were up for clothing, furniture, and toys, all tariff-sensitive items. And dining out, up 4% at full-service sit-down restaurants.
Regulators say more than two dozen health and safety violations at a Massachusetts assisted living center where nine people died in a fire were not immediately reported. Fall River Fire Chief Jeffrey Bacon was also asked about a fire response.
I've been advocating for more firefighters in the city of Fall River to make the job safer. The current model that we have is less firefighters and more overtime. And that's worked for us, but it's also working our firefighters to the bone.
ICE rolls out a new policy that expands who can be held in immigration detention without a chance for a bond hearing. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
Under this new guidance, any undocumented person, even somebody who's lived in the U.S. for years, is now automatically ineligible for a bond.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jack.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. After shootings over the weekend, some folks are calling for a Milwaukee lounge to close. Two people were killed in a shooting outside Element on Water Street. One of them was 52-year-old Antoine Hogans, known as Tweezy, a rapper who seemed to know just about everybody in Milwaukee and was beloved by the community. Three others were shot that night, too. A local activist has filed a revocation complaint for Element, which was insufficient, but even Alder Robert Balvin, who represents that area, told Fox 6 he supports revoking the business's license. A memorial for Hogan's outside his hookah business continues to grow. And a child died in a Milwaukee fire yesterday. Most people were able to evacuate the apartment building at 31st and Wells, except for the family in the unit where the fire started. Firefighters got a woman out of the building and a child who later died. The woman is the child's mother and is severely hurt, being cared for at the hospital. The Red Cross is helping seven other families find temporary housing. And at least eight people were hurt in a bus crash in Milwaukee last night. It happened near Teutonia and Capitol Drive, according to CBS 58. Firefighters told reporters on scene they took eight people to the hospital. And MCTS drivers could strike at any time. Their contract expires at the end of the month, and 98% of union members voted in favor of a strike. The vice president of Local 988 told WISN the drivers have simple requests: improved safety and higher pay. MCTS staff say they're working to negotiate a deal that's fair to drivers and to Milwaukee County taxpayers. MCTS is facing an $11 million budget shortfall, and a couple top brass have recently resigned. The last time MCTS drivers went on strike was in 2015. The union and MCTS officials have negotiation sessions scheduled for Thursday and Friday. For 540 WAUK, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Brewers add more players. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers have wrapped up their picks in the Major League Baseball draft. Milwaukee adding 22 new players to the organization, 8 position players, and 14 pitchers. The All-Star game is tonight in Atlanta. The Brewers' Freddy Peralta there along with closer Trevor McGill.
I'm pretty fired up, that's for damn sure. Just happy to be around this clubhouse, you know, and great group of guys to enjoy this with, that's for damn sure.
I asked rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski what was his favorite All-Star game to watch growing up. The Miz says it was the one he saw in person back in 2012 in his hometown at the age of 10.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the one in Kansas City. That would have been 12? 12, there you go. I remember going to that and seeing that, and I thought it was the coolest thing that all the big stars were in one place. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting.
That's Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Occasional cloudiness tonight and a slight chance of a shower. Warm lows in the low 70s. For tomorrow, sun to start the day, then showers and storms likely in the afternoon. Some could be strong. Warm and muggy with highs in the upper 80s. More storms tomorrow night. Currently, it's 85.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We're on the road for What Makes Wisconsin Great, this time from the EAA and Oshkosh Air Museum, along with Jane and Greg. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this breed, is breed. Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes. Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK. One, two, three, four. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, folks, to hour number two, act two, as I like to call it, here at Nightlight. Great to have you with me, Conrad Krieger, working the board. We will have more with our guest, Mike Schmidt, in just a moment. If you missed the first part of the show, I will just share our question with you. We've got some great answers. What is your favorite Harrison Ford film? Harrison Ford turned 83. I love when people in the business who know him, and I ran into this a lot in LA, people go, oh, Harry Ford, because they like know him. I was in a meeting once and the producer said, oh, we'll get Sandy Bullock to do it. Like, it's weird hearing, like, yeah. You get used to hearing regular, their like showbiz names. But 7,000 Apart is coming up at 7:20. They will be here live, John and Amelie, talking about all their dates all throughout the state before they head back to Sweden like they do. And they're going to perform live in the studio, which will be great. We also talked about Conrad's tattoo, the Emmys. What else, Con? What am I missing here? What do we...
I know
I said something funny before.
Well, we talked about the nude cruise as well.
The nude cruise. Conrad's going on a nude cruise. He tried to get on last year, but he sent a selfie and they said no. Now he's going to try again.
Hey, this is my year.
We could do a remote from a nude cruise. I would do that.
Yeah. I don't know if we should show a picture on that.
Yeah, probably not. We can't. We get FCC stuff.
Yeah.
But lots of fun stuff happening here tonight. Great to have you with me. Text in, folks, and I will read your text on the radio. And if you're watching us, if you're watching the radio, text it on the stream. That's always fun, too. And we'll talk about Harrison Ford some more. But right now, I'm going to ask our current guest, comedian and podcast host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast, which you have to check out, Mike Schmidt. What is your favorite? You have a favorite Harrison Ford movie, Mike?
Well, it's funny. I've been revisiting Harrison Ford recently.
Okay.
I've never seen the Clancy movies. I've never seen Clear and Present Danger, Red October. I've never seen any of them. So I have, those are on my agenda. I'm not doing this to be hipster Joe, because look, we all know Star Wars. We all know Indiana Jones. These are amazing movies. And those are the clear choices. But I think Witness, of course, is someone I'm sure everybody's brought that up. I'm going to throw in The Conversation.
That was mine. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. From early in the 70s and a Gene Hackman movie vehicle, I guess you would say,
and
Francis Ford Coppola. And he's not in it a ton, but he's, you know, he's important when you see him, you know, in the beginning. And you should see The Conversation. It's real great. And also, just after on The Conversation, he was Tom Branigan in an episode of Petrocelli.
So that is something.
Go find that online somewhere. I'm sure you can dig that out of a grave somewhere on YouTube.
It's funny you say that about The Conversation, because he plays Robert Duvall, right? Robert Duvall has a cameo. It's more than a cameo, but he's not on screen much. But Harrison Ford plays like his assistant secretary. And he kind of comes across as this guy that could either wring your neck or just be a lapdog. And you don't really know. And I think it's because he's such a good actor. Like, I don't, you know, I thought he was going to kill someone in the movie at some point. But yeah, he did a really good job in it. And the Clear and Present Danger, the Clancy ones, those are good movies, in my opinion, but like, that was right on the cusp of when Hollywood fell in love with flawed characters. And Harrison Ford is like Mr. Boy Scout in those. It's kind of annoying. Even before the flawed characters were a cool thing, I was like, this guy's like too perfect. That's why he's a doctor. He never cheats. He doesn't drink, whatever. But they're fun watches, you know. Anyway.
Well, when I first came on, you read from a listener that The Fugitive was a choice, and I'm sure you've mentioned it a couple times.
Yeah.
But it is phenomenal. I remember seeing it in the theater and just going, this is crazy how good it is. And it also has, quite frankly, one of my favorite eating scenes I've ever seen in a movie. And it's so ridiculous.
The hospital?
But it's like, yes. You know how you can put yourself in a position? He's so hungry because he's been running and all that. And he dyes his hair. He cuts his beard. He shaves. He does that, by the way, perfectly. He's literally using a bottle cap and a lighter to shave and somehow looks amazing. And then he steals that guy's breakfast and wolfs the eggs right off the plate. And it looks so delicious. Even though it's hospital eggs, I'm like, nothing's ever looked that delicious in my life.
That's why I love having you on the show, Mike. I love those little nuanced things you pick up in movies like that, because I remember kind of thinking the same thing, but I've never verbalized it or talked about it. So
but I can't believe you, because you said it, you knew instantly. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't drink at all.
Right.
I'm not an alcohol guy, but if you watch Django Unchained, Christoph Waltz pulls two beers from a tap, and I go, I've never wanted a beer more in my life than this. And then DiCaprio and Madsen, both in separate movies, DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Madsen in Kill Bill 2, make margaritas in a blender, cracking the ice cubes into it and then shaking it to make it mix. And I'm going, I don't drink, but they look delicious. The drinks, both of them look incredible. Like I just want them in my mouth.
Cinematic margaritas. Nice. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
You were telling a story about meeting Michael Madsen, so I'd love to have you finish that.
Oh, so the closer I got to the table, the closer I started to realize that maybe, Michael had joined us in body, but maybe not fully in spirit. he might have had a few. He might have, Christoph Waltz might have pulled a couple for him, and they tippled a little bit before he showed up. And I realized that Virginia was there as kind of a caretaker. She was there making sure he was cool and okay and everything was fine. He wasn't out of control. He was going through the motions of signing and smiling. But you could kind of see he was fogged over, like he wasn't really there. And then I got to the table, and I didn't want to bother him and I didn't want to say anything. But he looked up and he gave me the smile, and I gave him the finger gun shoot, and he looked at me, he did the same thing, like the psh back, and he signed my DVD and my one from my buddy Max. And I told him my story about seeing the movie twice, and he could, and just a lot of, all right. Yeah.
Like, that's cool.
But then, so I have his autograph. I still have the box with the autograph on it. And then, Pardo met him in a place, like not a bar, a nightclub or whatever. And Madsen was hammered. And he's like, I got to get Schmitty his autograph. If I see him and I don't get it, I'm insane, right?
Yeah.
And Pardo tells me this story, builds it up. And then he hands me a cocktail nap and he goes, here you go. And it looked like an EEG. Like, I mean, you wouldn't know it if he had a stroke in the middle of it. I mean, it just was a mess. You know what it looked like? The embroidery on a square dancer's shirt. It was that awful. Just like this endless series of loops. I threw it out. I mean, and it's funny, my friend's like, you should have said it. It's a great story. I go, but I couldn't prove anything because nobody would believe it anyway.
Right.
It's so awful. But yeah, but I credit to Jimmy for getting it. And he handed it to me and just saw my face and laughed. I was like, oh no.
He wasn't, I'm sure, because I know Jimmy, but he could have been playing a joke on you too. No, really, I ran into him and this is his.
It could have been. Yeah, to this day, he could be selling it on me.
I'll share this with you just because Jimmy's been on the show a few times too. And I know we have listeners that really like Jimmy too. And he, I think if I told you this, please stop me, but I had this horrible shirt on the last time he was on. It was December. It was cold. And I just grabbed something. I knew I was going to have to stay over in Green Bay because it was a blizzard. So I grabbed the first warmest shirt I could find. And I looked like I was out of like Columbo or something. I had this suede two-tone shirt on. And I said to Conrad, if Pardo doesn't make fun of this shirt, I'll think he's slipping. Well, honest to God, Mike, he comes on the stream and I immediately see Jimmy's wheels turning and he's looking at my shirt. And as soon as I welcome him to the show, he goes, what's going on with that shirt, friend? What do you got? Something out of the Tim Walls collection there? Beautiful.
I'm going to do this. I'm sorry. Yeah. I know we're pressed.
No, please.
It's not my story to tell, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Jimmy's on a payphone, and our mutual friend, Russ McGarry, walks up to him while he's on the phone. And Jimmy's talking, doesn't even look at him. Russ walks up, and our friend Russ is a distance runner, thin man. He looks like a Color Forms.
He has Caesar too, that? Right? I think.
Yeah, at the time. Yeah. He had, so, and he walks right up to Jimmy and he just kind of looks at him because they're working together. And Jimmy doesn't even blink. He's on the payphone and he goes, I'm going to have to ask you to hold on for a second because Russ McGarry has arrived and apparently he has AIDS.
Oh,
and then he pauses for the guy on the phone to talk. And then he looks at Russ and goes, Russ, do you have AIDS? He asks him after saying apparently he has AIDS. Russ,
no.
Do you have AIDS? No, Jimmy. I'm sorry you made me do it.
You're dying on your dance floor.
One more Jimmy story because it's my favorite.
Yeah,
my
please.
Favorite story. He and our mutual friend Pat and a group, they went to a concert in the park. I think it might have been the Knack. Okay, and it was like a free concert in the park in Woodland Hills, and they're all just you're just vibing on a summer. Everybody's having fun and everybody's watching the show and having a good time, and there's a beach ball. Everybody's bouncing a beach ball around. It's just, one of those kind of things. It's a summer crowd. And Jimmy's watching the show. Everybody's watching. And then the beach ball gets bounced over and it comes over and it lands by Jimmy. He picks it up, pulls out a marker and signs it and knocks it back into the crowd as if they were bouncing it the whole time to get it to him for the autograph.
Yeah,
didn't sell it. Didn't tell anybody, watch this. Just picked it up, signed it, did that Jimmy wave, and throws it back into the crowd. Oh, how funny is that?
It might
be the funniest thing I've ever heard.
That's funny, but I can continue that story, and I probably that night because this will be the last inside story I tell folks, I swear. But that night, I think they went to Paul Gilmartin's afterwards, and I was there, and they were telling a story about trying to get the Knack to sign their album. And Jimmy said, he's telling the story. He goes, Pat and I are waiting there patiently. And then, a couple of dorks come up and want him to sign something. And everybody kind of looked around the room like, oh, really? It's gorgeous stuff. All right. So we've got about 3 minutes left, Mike. And I don't know if that's time for one, but I would love for you to tell a condensed version of either the time you met Brandon Fraser or Tesh. Because you are an intimidating guy. What are you, 6'3"?
6'2",
you're a big dude, and yeah,
and 3:30 these days or 3:20, whatever.
Nice.
I had a biscuit for lunch. Who knows? So they're very short stories because they're true. It's what happened. Well, I was at the Virgin Megastore once, and I was walking around, and Brendan Fraser. That in the old days, folks, they used to have displays of video game consoles, and you could play the game in the store. It was under lock and key and plexiglass, but the controller was out, it was welded to it, but you could kind of play.
You try it.
So I walked up, and I'm to his left behind him, and I'm watching, and he's playing, and he's kind of nervous. He kind of glances over at me, and he glances over at me again. And Brendan Fraser, big guy, taller than me, but he's playing. He's just playing the game, and I start, because I'm dumb. I'm like, oh, get him. Oh, dude. Like I start playing it a little bit and these little kids start laughing because they're there and we're having fun. Ha ha. And Brendan Fraser's playing and Brendan Fraser looks again at me twice more. And I go, oh, dude, no, you got to. And the one kid goes, go in the cave or whatever says. And Brendan Fraser just looks at me and he goes, I mean, I've never seen a man move this fast. He just goes, it's all you. And he walks away as fast as he can. He lets go of the controller mid game. It's all you. And he goes, and like, kind of a quick brisk and out of the store. I sent him home. I sent him packing. I sent the mummy on his way.
He's like, I'll just buy this.
Yeah. Why am I playing a game? And people know who I am now. I forgot.
Oh, that's so funny.
Same location, Virgin Megastar. I'm with my buddy, Dennis Eggenberg. And at the time we're going to go down to the parking garage. We're splitting. And the elevator opens and John Tesh is inside the elevator. Now you want to talk about, you tell me I'm intimidating. Both these guys are bigger than me.
Tesh is like 6'6", isn't he?
Yeah. He's a Fred Gwynne wannabe. I mean, he's a monster dude. So, and also just a giant, horse head. I mean, it looks like a Venetian urn. So we get in and he didn't have a button pushed on the thing when the door opened. So in my brain, I'm like, was that his floor? Like, I don't even know. So we get in and I punch our floor. And I go, what floor, Mr. Tesh? And he reaches out as fast as anybody. And he just goes, bing, bing, bing. And he hits open door. And then he runs out of his car, runs out of the elevator to his car. Runs from us. Because the second I recognize him, I guess he went, because he wouldn't let the doors close. He's just like, I just go, hey, what floor, Mr. Tesh? Bing, 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 run.
Anything.
I look at Dennis. I'm like, what did we do, man? And you hear his car peel out.
Dude, you are the best. Thank you so much, Mike. Always fun. Let's do it again. Love you, man. Talk to you soon.
Love you too.
Thanks, Mike. That's Mike Schmidt. Check out the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast. And as always, so much fun talking to Mike. We have a great in-studio guest coming up next, folks. 7,000 apart. You will not want to miss this. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let me tell you.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. Hey, it's Tuesday, folks, and we are on the radio talking about all the stuff we love to talk about. Movies and music and comedy and TV and lots of cool stuff happening in Wisconsin. And we are about to kill two birds with one stone because my next guest is providing a lot of entertainment in the community and doing great stuff when it comes to music. 7,000 apart, John Anomaly. How are you guys?
Hi, we're Hello. So good. Thank you for having us here.
So great. I think the last time you were here, it was my birthday, right? And you
yes.
sang happy birthday, which
yes.
is very cool.
That was so fun.
And I just want you guys to know that I, whenever your name comes up with other people, I take full credit for having discovered it.
Oh, yeah. That's totally fine.
You're okay with
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
100% credit.
It's, yeah,
it's probably
you.
A big line of people that do that. But anyway, it's great to see you guys. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great thanks for having us. It's really fun to be back.
How are things going?
Really good. We're very busy.
Yeah.
Summer's like the most intense time, but it's also the most fun time. And so we're having a blast and we're exhausted.
In a good way, right?
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. You said you guys were lower energy tonight, and that's okay. But
it's lower.
We'll ramp up. Don't you worry.
You've earned it, I think. You have a jam-packed schedule. Let's talk about this first because...
Yeah.
I just printed this up. If you're watching on the stream, maybe we don't have a... Con, are we on the stream? Oh, okay. Got to turn the TV on there. But your schedule is insane. You've got all these Wisconsin dates. First of all, do you go outside of Wisconsin typically?
Not typically. We used to before COVID a little bit more. Okay. And then it's just like it's so expensive touring outside. Like when when you have to like start doing like hotel rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
Because now we can just drive home. And so that saves a lot. And but we did do one show in Chicago at one of the biggest festivals down there. So that was really, really fun. Yeah.
Pre-COVID, we were sleeping on a lot of floors.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Did you reach a point where you're just like done with that?
It's a little bit. Yeah. And it's more like, since we have shows here and people aren't sick of us yet, we might as well keep going, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you guys put out enough new material that you don't have to worry about that. But you've got July 18th at the Rock Winery in Baraboo. Mm-hmm. So you're heading south.
Yep.
Then you've got on the 19th in Ishwaubenon at is Jesse McCartney. Is that the name of
yeah,
the
Yeah, we're
name?
Opening. Oh, okay. It's our biggest show of the year. On Saturday, so we're very excited.
For sure. It's like one of the three biggest ones this summer, for sure.
Okay.
It's for the Titletown District. They bring in national like touring bands.
Yeah.
And they're bringing Jesse McCartney this year. And last year we opened up for the ex-ambassadors there, and it was like 2,000 people or something. And
wow.
Really good time, yeah. Right by Lambeau.
Yeah, I'm just going to play really dumb here because in Baraboo, it says The Rock Winery.
Yeah.
And here it says Jesse McCartney. I thought that was the name of a bar. Oh. And then I realized who you were talking about. Yeah.
No, he was like a big star in the 2000s.
Yeah,
like
no.
A big teen idol, yeah.
What's it like when you guys open for someone like that? Mm-hmm. Are the crowds better because they paid more money to see a headliner and they're like really zoned in on the show, or does it matter?
So we haven't done a ton of them, and these are actually free.
Okay.
So the title and puts on these free shows. Yeah. So, I mean, they're just happy to be there. And it's cool because, like, I mean, they're not there for us, but at the same time, like, they are there to be entertained. And if we can provide that, then they're happy. And so we do, like, a little mix of originals and covers.
Okay.
And
they go in with no expectations, or they assume you're going to be bad. You know?
They don't expect so, a local like,
bar
band.
Is low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we can be, like, even a little bit above that, they're.
So you guys go in there and rock them, and then it's like, you got your. That's so cool.
Yeah.
All right, then you've got Sturgeon Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever played Marinette? It's an hour north, right up along the water, right before you get to the UP.
Didn't we play what's it called? The County Fair in Marinette.
Oh, yeah, we did. We did that last year.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at this list going, wait a minute. Sturgeon Bay is smaller than Marinette, and they've got 7,000 apart. How do we get you guys in Marinette?
Just got to book us.
All right. Yeah. Make a few phone calls. Then you've got Sister Bay. You've got two different venues in Sister Bay this summer. How does that work? Do people get competitive, or they say, like, you can't play that venue if you play here?
So Wisconsin is really chill. We've only had it happen once where they had, like, a radius cost, as it's called, where they were like, we don't want you to play within this many miles for, like, 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after or something.
Gotcha.
That's only happened once. Otherwise, like, people are really chill.
People come. I mean, like, we just had a fan that has been to 50 shows.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we got him a cake.
We got him a cake for 50th show. We were like, I don't know what to sing you, but we'll sing you something, you know? Like,
that's fantastic.
There's not 50th shows, so show song or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Are you at a point right now where I would imagine you have favorite venues or towns to play? Like, when it comes to, like, crowds or maybe mob mentality, whatever you want to call it, do crowds take on lives of their own when they're watching you guys?
I mean, sometimes. I would say, like, I don't think we have a favorite because, like, every crowd is different, and we love that. We love when people are, like, quiet listening. We love when there's, like, a lot of stuff going on. We love when people come up and dance. We love when there's kids around.
Nice.
We love when there's a more mature audience. Like, I think what we really love is that there is such a wide variety, and we're starting, and we always we adjust our set list based on the people that we see in the audience and the vibe. Like, if John and I are doing a duo show at a winery, we'll keep it a lot more low key and we'll do a lot more storytelling.
Different than like Summerfest.
Yeah. Summerfest where you just go song or like playing at a wedding where people just want to dance. Like, it's not the time to tell a story. You know what I mean? Like, so I think playing so many shows, we've learned how to kind of cater to each audience.
Okay.
And it's so cool when you see that working.
You're old pros now.
It's useful for the opening slots as well, because you can kind of judge the audience and be like, okay, they're going to not like this next song that we had chosen. Mm-hmm. So let's replace that one, you know?
And we make decisions on the fly.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
John and Amelie are here in the studio, 7,000 apart, the rock duo. That splits time between here in Northeast Wisconsin and Sweden. They're going to perform after the news. And I'm going to ask you guys, what was I going to ask you? I want to ask you about I don't know. I'll think of something good. I want to ask you how it went at Summerfest. So we'll do that too after the news. 7,000 Apart is in the studio, folks. Do not leave or you will miss their kick-ass performance that is coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, gotta get away. I don't know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone.
Well, I spent all that day fixing up to go somewhere.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
CBS News Brief. Inflation rose in June to its highest level since February as the initial effects of tariffs weigh on consumer prices. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
Prices were up for clothing, furniture, and toys, all tariff-sensitive items. And dining out, up 4% at full-service sit-down restaurants.
Regulators say more than two dozen health and safety violations at a Massachusetts assisted living center where nine people died in a fire were not immediately reported. Fall River Fire Chief Jeffrey Bacon was also asked about a fire response.
I've been advocating for more firefighters in the city of Fall River to make the job safer. The current model that we have is less firefighters and more overtime. And that's worked for us, but it's also working our firefighters to the bone.
ICE rolls out a new policy that expands who can be held in immigration detention without a chance for a bond hearing. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
Under this new guidance, any undocumented person, even somebody who's lived in the U.S. for years, is now automatically ineligible for a bond.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jack.
The Brewers add more players. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers have wrapped up their picks in the Major League Baseball draft. Milwaukee adding 22 new players to the organization, 8 position players, and 14 pitchers. The All-Star game is tonight in Atlanta. The Brewers' Freddy Peralta there along with closer Trevor McGill.
I'm pretty fired up, that's for damn sure. Just happy to be around this clubhouse, you know, and great group of guys to enjoy this with, that's for damn sure.
I asked rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski what was his favorite All-Star game to watch growing up. The Miz says it was the one he saw in person back in 2012 in his hometown at the age of 10.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the one in Kansas City. What, that would have been 12? 12, there you go. I remember going to that and seeing that, and I thought it was the coolest thing that all the big stars were in one place. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting.
That's Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The summer box office remains financially healthy thanks to The Man of Steel. Superman was the top dog, to no one's surprise, pulling in $122 million domestically over the weekend and almost another $100 million from overseas. Here at home, that's the third biggest opening of the year. The news was good for DC Comics as director James Gunn is also the co-head of the whole operation, so they needed this to be a winner. Rounding out the top five were all big-time blockbuster-esque films. Jurassic World Rebirth was the top dog last week and came in second place with $40 million big ones. In its third week of release, F1 delivered $13 million at the box office. And rounding out the fourth and fifth place were kid flicks How to Train Your Dragon, which came in with close to $8 million, and Pixar's Elio, which came in with just under $4 million. Superman is expected to top the charts again next week, as there will be no real competition until the Fantastic Four, First Steps, hits the big screen July 25th. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Occasional cloudiness tonight and a slight chance of a shower. Warm lows in the low 70s. For tomorrow, sun to start the day, then showers and storms likely in the afternoon. Some could be strong. Warm and muggy with highs in the upper 80s. More storms tomorrow night. Currently, it's 85.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we'll talk to State Representative Christian Phelps on the lifting of enrollment caps on voucher schools and new Democratic Party State Chair Devin Remicker.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Has a new favorite bumper song because he plays it a lot. That's a great tune, though. Our question of the night was, what is your favorite Harrison Ford movie? Tony the Trucker says, Pete, Harrison Ford movie is Cowboys and Aliens. Was he in that? I don't remember that. I don't think I saw it.
I don't know that either, yeah.
I didn't know he was in it, and I didn't see it. So I'll take your word for it, Tony the Trucker. He says, probably not one of his better-known movies, but still very entertaining. Okay, Tony. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for the text. And then Steve from Florida says, I also like Harrison Ford's famous line toward the end of his movie, Air Force One, get off my plane, as he pushes the bad guy off the end of the plane. That was the movie. I don't know if you guys watch movies a lot, but yeah. Where I think Steven Seagal got beheaded or something, right? At the beginning of the movie. And it was like, you think he's going to be in it. And it's like, it was a cameo and like a lid came through and killed him or something. Like, I was like, whoa, I love when movies do that. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe, and this is exciting because we have John and Amelie here. They comprise 7,000 apart. They're in the studio. I discovered them, and I'll take full credit for that. But they are playing dates all over Wisconsin, folks. So where can people find these dates that I have in my hand?
Yeah, you can just, if you type in 7000apart.com and then just scroll down a little bit, they're all there. Otherwise, 7000apart.com/tour. We put them on Facebook. We put a little like graphic on Instagram.
Bands in town.
Okay.
If you just search 7000 apart, something should pop
up. It'll come up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having to do this without the interwebs?
Oh my gosh.
Like, what? Like in the 80s or 90s, you had to get on a mailing list, right?
But also, like, that would also be so nice not having to deal with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just because also back then, like, the clubs did a lot of, like, promotion and the promoters.
Well, people were looking for it, too.
Yeah. Okay.
Very interesting, exactly.
They didn't have as much entertainment they didn't have online, so they couldn't be entertained there, so they had to go out and do something to be entertained.
You guys were, like, more mysterious then. It was like, now you're directly contacted.
Mm-hmm. Now we're, like, trying to film everything that we do and put it out on the internet.
That would be exhausting. Do you want to play something?
Absolutely.
I know it's your night off. I hate to make you...
It's all good.
Which one are we doing first?
Fever?
Okay. Yeah. This is our latest single. It's called Fever. No, this is
7,000 apart. Here at Nightlight, singing Fever. Love it.
Connor Pack is loving you. Why do you do the things you do? Just keep holding on.
awesome. That's a great tune.
Thank you.
I thought you played, when you said Fever, I thought you had played that last time, but that's, I haven't heard that before. That's outstanding. Great song.
I don't think so. Thank you. Yeah, it's new.
Yeah.
It's on the
What's
new album.
What's going on in that song a little bit? I caught most of it, but
there's so many parts to it, so it's very hard to... Are you talking like lyrically or just like in general?
Because there was a moment, and this is right where my kind of comedy brain went to, but where you guys looked at each other and you gave each other kind of a cute look. And for those of you listening that don't know, they are a couple, 7,000 apart. They're a married couple. So you guys gave each other a nice look. And I thought, what if they weren't getting along on that day? Would you still have that sort of...
I mean, that's kind of what it is. Like when we were in long distance, so for those who don't know, that's what the 7,000 apart is.
We just got a text that said, how did they come up with their name?
Oh, yeah. So we were in a long distance relationship for 3 years, but we were 7,000 kilometers apart from each other, which is like 4,382.5 miles-ish.
After meeting here in Green Bay in high school.
Yes, that was an exchange. I'm from Sweden originally. And so, our relationship wasn't always great because like long distance is really, really hard.
Tough.
And so there were times where, it didn't feel like a good thing necessarily. And we weren't like great for each other. But the thing is like we were always great for each other when we were together. And so that always like... trumped everything. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Even though things were difficult when we were apart, that was almost a good sign.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're not supposed to be apart. We're supposed to be together.
Right.
So,
well said. So we started writing. So this was one of those songs that was written about the long distance relationship because we realized we haven't written about it that much just because, you know, people expect it that it was like, oh, it was super great and they had a good time and like everything was beautiful and stuff. And it was like, no. No, it was really bad. It was super, it was pretty rough, like, during long distance.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Do you guys, as you get older, and you're a few years removed from high school now, what are you, like, late 20s or something? Okay. Yeah. Sure. but do you go back to that? Like, you said you haven't written about it much, but are there times where you do get nostalgic and you're like, hey, we're missing some great material here because we had a cool story.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened, I think, with this album a bit.
Okay. We wrote both about, like, who we have been... who we are and also who we want to be, I think. Yeah. So this was very much like a coming home album in a way, like, and like that's just great. A very encapsulating our story in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Can you guys talk about your process, like marrying music with lyrics? I'm going to make an assumption here. I've probably asked you this before. Since you sing, I automatically think you're the lyrics and John is music, but maybe that's not the case. But when you come up with songs, regardless of who writes what, do you have a process where you come up with lyrics first and then you try to marry it to music, or does the music come first?
It's been completely different, all three albums. Okay. The first one, I wrote pretty much everything, and then Amelie edited everything.
Okay.
So like we kind of, I'm a very general creative person, so I'll just like make 100 ideas. And then, like, Amelie's very good at editing things and making them refined and stuff.
And fixing. Like, a lot of times, John will come with, like, one verse and a chorus. And then I will write the second verse and the bridge, for instance, together. And sometimes when we're in, like, a songwriting session with someone else, then I usually take lead on
lyrics,
a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I always change the melody no matter what.
Probably. Because, like, I'm not as... like I'm not a singer first, so like she makes it to fit her voice and fit the types of things she does melodically normally.
Okay.
So she'll change that up and stuff as well.
She's waving you off like you're a tremendous singer. Oh, okay. I thought you were saying get out of here. You're not the singer. 7,000 apart is here in the studio. John and Amelie are here playing. They just played their new song Fever. And what do you guys like to play better, the rockers, or do you like to do ballads, or what's your favorite? What is your favorite stuff to sing, Amelie, and what is your favorite stuff to play, John?
I like anything that gets an emotional reaction. Okay. So whether that is like I can see when people tap their foot, I can see when people like get really happy, like over playing their favorite song, or but I also love when people cry. Like, you know, because then I know I've reached them.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is like, that's what art is supposed to be. It's supposed to create feelings. And so anytime people have an emotional reaction, I'm really happy.
Yeah. I mean, I think first, like we both do music because we like to entertain people and like communicate with people.
Yeah.
And that's like the main reason we do music. So I would agree that like whatever communicates best with an audience, like, maybe you don't play the ballad in a bar, but also maybe you do. Like we just changed one of our ballads into this song that starts out really slow and then ends up being the biggest song that we have, like, for energy level. So, like, I think it's more about, like, communication, and then it's more also about, like, what's fun to play. Like,
yeah, for me, right.
Or fun to sing, and, like...
Great answer.
It can be either, you know?
Yeah, we love playing with the band, obviously. Yeah, like, band they're, is, yeah. They bring so much energy, and they're just so fun to have around. So, like...
That's fantastic. Do you, do you guys want to try to get another song in before the break?
Yeah, sure. We can do that.
What are you thinking?
Let's do our next single. Mm-hmm. It's coming out August 7th. Okay. We're only releasing on the 7th from now on.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's good luck. Right?
We like sevens for some reason. Right.
That sounds like a song too. All right. John and Amelie, 7,000 Apart.
Another long distance one.
Sweet.
I left my favorite jacket in the backseat of your Saab '94. It's not something I've done before. What was I thinking? 'Cause I don't even know the person you left behind. Now we're 4,000 miles apart. Did I leave my heart in the backseat? 'Cause I wanted you to have it. Why I won't survive another goodbye. No, what were we thinking? 'Cause I don't even know the person you are left behind. Now we're 4,000 miles apart. Did you leave your heart with me? 'Cause you wanted me to have it.
That's 7,000 Apart. Was it a dream? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Was it a dream?
Was
All right. Dream. We'll have a few more minutes with John and Amelie coming up after this very, very short break. Don't go away, folks. I'm going to tell you who's on tomorrow night, too, when we come back. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the 7,000 Apart show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Go! Go!
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down is to send a letter complaining about the smoke.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks. This is a fun, this is about as much fun as people can have on a Tuesday night. I don't want to speak. I know it's my show. That sounds like bragging, but my thanks to Mike Schmidt, who was on earlier. Always very funny. Thank you for all your texts, and thank you to 7,000 Apart. We have a few more minutes with these guys, John and Amelie, who are in the studio and always rock the place. It's so much fun when you guys are here. And we've got a couple more texts. We should probably bang this out, too, before we go back into the music. Bridget from the 818 says, regarding Henry. What is that, like our fifth regarding Henry?
I think that's the winner tonight.
I think it is, and I haven't even seen it. So, John, you have a favorite Harrison Ford movie?
It's so hard because I love, like, I literally have a Star Wars tattoo, as you can see here. Can you tell?
Yeah. So does he. Show him yours, Con.
Yeah, I just got it.
Nice.
Like, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but it's just like, in Indiana Jones, like, it's just, you know, he's the main guy.
It's
and
fun.
Like,
yeah,
it's so good. Like, I don't know, those are like the main ones. I haven't seen all of his other like catalog, but I just like Indiana Jones is so good.
He's just one of those guys that makes good movies. He's got a couple clunkers, like, but guys like him and Tom Cruise, they just know how to pick a movie. And he's had a great career. So that's a good answer. Tomorrow night on the show, folks, Civic Media Sports Authority, Mike Clemens will be here. We haven't talked sports in a while, so it'll be fun to have Mike on the show at 6:35. And then our pal and the legendary founder of Let Me Be Frank Productions here in Green Bay, Frank Hermans, will be here in the studio. And he always brings his guitar, too. Do you guys know Frank?
Oh, yeah. He's a great friend. I actually took singing lessons when I was here as an exchange student. I took singing lessons from Amy. His wife,
yeah.
And so, and then I was in one of their shows when I first
moved
here.
No way. Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I played Marianne in like a thing. Yeah, it was
like
great.
Like Gilligan's Island?
Yeah, Gilligan Isles thing. Sweet. Yeah, it was great.
He's great. Frank is always fun.
He's
just like you guys. You're all some of my favorite guests. So it's great to have you here. 7,000 Apart is in the studio. And so what was I going to ask you guys? All right, do you have, first of all, how was Summerfest? Because I almost forgot to ask
insane.
You that.
Insane.
Really?
Absolutely insane. I mean, it's the biggest stage we've ever been on, I think.
Yeah.
It was the U.S. Cellular stage. Like, you can see it from the highway. Like, that's how big the stage is. Yeah. Like, how insane
was
is
it
that?
Scary?
I was actually not nervous.
I was just so excited and just had fun. It was like, there were like 10 people behind stage, like, helping out to make it happen. And it's like, that doesn't happen for us. Normally, we have to do everything.
We normally have to set up all the speakers and all the lights, and we just showed up.
Just showed up and did our thing for an hour and left.
We had a backstage area. Like, we had a little green room. Like,
there's a bathroom.
Free water.
It was amazing.
Come on.
There was free water as well. Incredible.
So that's the biggest venue you've played. You played for an hour. Did you do all original stuff or some covers?
Basically, we did like three covers, maybe, I think.
Yeah.
But it was great. We worked with a live stagecoach from Nashville and
the same week
for rehearsing.
So we felt really ready and just excited to show people the new stuff.
That's like one of the biggest music festivals in the world.
Yeah.
What a thrill.
I know.
Yeah. Where are you guys at in terms of, I'm sure you'd like to have those guys setting up for you and doing all that stuff to get to that stage, but you make your living at this, and it's a grind, I'm sure, at times, but you're still on the rise, right? I mean, you guys put out new music and you're building your, you know, following and all that kind of stuff. Are you surprised it's taken this much work? Or are you like, oh, this hasn't been that bad. We're still, you know.
I think every day's different.
Okay.
And I think we've come to, like, at least I have, to a point where I'm like, wow, I get to do what I love for a living.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's tough. Like, it's not like we are swimming in money in any shape or form. But I get to do what I love. And I could do this for the next 20, 30, 40 years. Do you know what I mean? Like,
because
I feel like Wisconsin is also, like, so fine when it comes to age. Like, we have so many, like, friends and people we look up to that have been on the grind for that many years.
Yeah.
And they're still killing it.
They're still doing it.
And they're still getting booked. You know?
So there's not, like, I think when I was in my younger 20s, I was more concerned about my age, especially being a woman in the music industry. I was like, oh, we gotta get our big break now, or otherwise it's too late.
Right.
But now I'm more like, wow, we've come this far. We're growing every single year, and, like, nothing is stopping us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people don't care about our age. They just want to have a good time.
They want to be rocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
honestly,
we normally get that.
Put new music out and, like, I mean, that's. Yeah. That's so great. So you're here. You've got all these dates between now and September. We got lucky and got you in here on a night off. But when do you head back to Sweden?
Early September, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like September 3rd, I think. And then we're playing a wedding on September 5th, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweden, so yeah, it's going to be busy. But
it'll be fun.
We're excited. It's going to be nice to be back, too.
I think it's great. And I love having you guys here. You're one of my favorites. And one of these nights when I'm not working, I'll have to actually come out and see you play a whole set.
Really,
I get these snippets, which are great and a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're
good. But I would love to come see a whole set sometime.
Oh my gosh, you'd love the band too. Like, come out to a band show and just, then you get, like, the full experience.
Do you guys want to play us out?
We can play you out.
All right, 7,000 Apart. John and Amelie are here. Catch them. Go. Where should people go? Just 7,000apart.com?
7,000apart.com or Instagram, Facebook.
They're a great follow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And thank you again to Mike Schmidt. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Peach Wabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin. Here's 7,000 Apart playing us out.
Tripping on words like it's a tightrope. Running in circles, how my explode. Kept on a launch line, my head spinning. Tiptoe around, it's not a fair game. It's my understanding that I'm insane. Driving me wild, why would you ask this? Waking up from my delusion, told myself I wanted you in that way. Contorting myself into a lock cage. It's time that I break it to the main stage. Follow my lead, let's walk out to the spotlight.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
The This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Some troops are leaving the L.A. area a month after they were deployed there by President Trump. CBS's Matt Piper with an update.
The Trump administration is releasing thousands of California National Guard troops from a federal mission in Los Angeles that had responded to protests. It comes more than a month after President Trump deployed the troops over Governor Gavin Newsom's objections. 2,000 Guard troops will be released, the Pentagon says, which is half of the 4,000 who were brought under federal control. It's not immediately clear how long the rest will stay in the region.
The investigation is underway into a fire that killed 9 people and the assisted living home in Fall River, Massachusetts, where it broke out. CBS's Tom Hanson.
Debbie Johnson says she worked as a nursing assistant at Gabriel House. During her 4 years there, she worried about safety all the time.
If there's a fire in this building tonight, what the hell am I going to do? I said, I'm not going to be able to get everybody out of here.
You never in the